Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to CoHealth Checkup, a 30-minute radio show that promises thoughtful debate and lively banter about workplace wellness and employee benefits trends. I'm Fran Melmed, the founder of Context, a communication consulting firm that specializes in workplace wellness, and one of your co-hosts. You can find me on Twitter at F.E. Melmed and online at contextcommunication.com. And I'm joined by my co-host, Carol Harnett.
Hi, Fran, and thank you. As Fran indicated, I'm Carol Harnett, and I am a health, disability, and employee benefits consultant, and I also speak and write on those topics. I'm the president of the Council for Disability Awareness, and you can find me at the Twitter handle, at Carol Harnett, as well as at Human Resource Executive, where I write the employee benefits column. And I am pleased today to introduce our topic. As our regular listeners know, Fran and I decided to focus on the topic of financial health following our participation in the Human Resource Executive Health and Benefits Leadership Conference, which was held in May in Las Vegas. And what we found at that conference was that almost every presentation at that forum contained some element of financial wellness. And we believed that one of the topics we wanted to include in our series was the topic of prescription drug expenses, because we feel it falls well under this umbrella, and we knew exactly the company we wanted to reach out to when we decided on this topic, which is the company called GoodRx. I became aware of GoodRx in October of 2012 when Fast Company ran a series called Healthcare Shakeups, and one of our guests, Doug Hirsch, was with he and another individual who were juggling, I believe, if that's my recollection of the picture, when I saw that series run. And Doug Hirsch, who is one of GoodRx's co-founders and co-CEOs and a former Facebook employee, answered a question in that particular piece on why start this company with a response that absolutely still resonates with me. And to quote him, what he said is, "People at Facebook are attracted to messy problems. If you take a problem, listen to the real issues, and find a way to dumb it down to something that can impact people's lives, you have a solution. People were talking about how they couldn't afford their prescription drugs, so we built GoodRx." And for me, that approach reminded me of another entrepreneur, Steve Jobs, whose quest always was to find beautiful, elegant solutions that work. Between the time I interviewed Doug for my benefits column and now, GoodRx has gone on to not only offer what I consider to be and has been recognized as an award-winning consumer app and web portal where you can find the cheapest prices for pharmaceuticals and prescription drugs. They've added on services in that time, including a transparent PBM for employers, an application that is used by physicians, and even a way for consumers to search for better-priced meds for their pets. And I can personally attest that I have started to use the GoodRx application myself because I only take one prescription drug, and because it's a name brand drug, which my doctor insists that I take, it's not covered by my health plan, and every time I go, I save $40. So I am personally appreciative to GoodRx for that. Do one more piece. I do believe Doug needs at least a brief bio, so I want you to know that Doug Hirsch spent 10 years at Yahoo, first building the earliest online communities, and then as general manager of Yahoo Entertainment. He also spent time at Facebook as vice president of product, where he built Facebook Photos and other products. And post-Facebook, Doug founded Daily Strength, the web's largest community for people facing health and life challenges. So with that long introduction, Doug, welcome to CoHealth Checkup.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for the very thorough introduction. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I thought you deserved it.
Doug, I'm going to kick things off. And I wanted to first start with acknowledging Time actually just put out an article just a few hours ago that talked about how many Americans take prescription drugs. They say nearly 70% of Americans are taking at least one, about 20% use at least five. And we know, of course, that these prescription drugs, the prices have been going up, 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 and half of Americans have trouble paying for them, and a quarter of them don't even fill their prescriptions because they can't afford them. When you look at that scenario, can you help me and our listeners understand how GoodRx makes these drugs more affordable for consumers?
Sure, sure. I mean, you know, first of all, your numbers are right. I mean, Americans spend, I think it's up to almost $450 billion a year on prescription drugs. I think about 75 billion prescriptions. I mean, these are huge, huge numbers, and it's one of the biggest expenses, of course, for consumers, and yet it's also an area where there's just the least amount of clarity, transparency, any sort of knowledge before you actually walk in to make that purchase. And so, you know, it's just been a huge problem for consumers because they just never had any knowledge. And, you know, even for myself, and we can talk a little bit about where this whole idea came from, just the idea of a doctor handing you a piece of paper or calling in a prescription and you having no advance warning on what it's going to cost ultimately leads to breakage, right? It leads to people not actually adhering to the prescription regimen that the doctor wants them to take. And so, you know, the cost to society when a consumer doesn't take their drug is obviously a huge problem. And what we've done is we've managed to bring together not just the cash prices for drugs, which are quite high, but also gathered so many different forms of discounts into one easy place and then made it all ultimately just digestible to a consumer so they can very easily come in, look up a drug price, and find huge savings. I mean, you know, oftentimes 80% or more off of what they might otherwise be paying.
Carol, let me just ask one follow-up question. Where do you pull in all of the data from to help people understand the pricing disparities and where the best place is for them to go?
Sure. So when we first got started with this, it's sort of a funny story. You know, we said, okay, you know, we realized there was a problem here because we saw that prices were varying from pharmacy to pharmacy, and we saw that there were all these potentially great ways for consumers to save, but we had no idea how to get our hands on the data. I happened to come across an obscure New York State law which allows any consumer to walk into a pharmacy and demand a price list. And so my father lives in New York. He's retired, and so I said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing today? How about you go into like 20 different pharmacies and demand price lists?" and so he did. And about 18 of those pharmacists were like, "What? No one's ever asked us for that before." And they proceeded to give him, faxed, photocopied pieces of paper, all of which, by the way, we found out later were wrong. So. That was where we got started, and you know, we had a lot of fits and starts going through this process because, again, this is data that has never really been available before. But if you look at kind of what we do today, we get data from a variety of sources. A number of pharmacies send us prices directly. They say, here are the prices we have. We believe our prices are good. We want consumers to see them. A number of discounts are available to consumers, and the companies that the PBMs, basically, who provide those discounts, provide us with information so that we can show those discounted prices to consumers. A number of pharmacies, the biggest ones mostly, offer $4 generic lists, right, where for certain drugs you can get a drug for $4. But, of course, all those lists are different from every single pharmacy. A number of pharmacies even offer drugs for free. There are certain antibiotics and some other drugs that certain pharmacies literally say, hey, we're just going to give them away for free because someone will come in and do their grocery shopping or do whatever else they're doing. And so we really take data from so many sources, and I think if there's one thing we do pretty well, it's, you know, with our data and sort of technical backgrounds, is we take this sort of whole mess of data, and we're talking about billions of prices, mush them all together, and then give that consumer that one price that we think is the best for that pharmacy and that specific drug.
Now, as I mentioned, I found myself using the GoodRx app. I've had it on my phone since I first talked with you, and it's funny, I've shared it with people on planes and all kinds of places, and everyone's had the experience I had. But what I found interesting is I am one of the, I guess, majority of people who go and check the app every time I'm going to renew my prescription. And you said there is an incredibly low dollar number that people will actually switch pharmacies for in order to save money. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you think that happens and how it's helped people?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, as we started the show with, look, you know, drugs are expensive, right? And I think for the average American, I think, as you said earlier, about half of Americans literally don't take their prescriptions because of cost. So I think Americans are very motivated to want to price shop and want to compare. Again, they just really haven't had those tools. What we see specifically is, you know, we're seeing price changes all the time. Every day, prices on GoodRx are changing. And so when we observe those price differences and we look at the data, and we see people switching for very low numbers. I mean, we're talking like a $2 or $3 change in a medication price, you know, on a 30-day basis will often lead to a change of pharmacy. I think consumers are coming to understand that transferring a prescription is actually not very difficult. Typically, the new pharmacy is very happy to have the business. And so, you know, they have the tool set now. They have the knowledge so that they can actually, you know, make that transfer. And, you know, look, there's the CVS is usually across the street from the Walgreens, right? So it's not too hard to make that happen. And so it's really great to sort of see this fluidity because I think in healthcare, traditionally, it's been very hard, you know, to switch a provider or to switch a hospital or something like that. And so we're excited that people are really kind of voting with their feet.
Yeah, I think it's great. And to your point, though, we almost have a corner where we literally have almost every major pharmacy represented. We've got Rite Aid and Walgreens and CVS and then Walmart down the street. So it's not very hard for people to just drive to a different place to pick up their prescription. Now,
yeah, there are more than 60,000. Okay, sorry.
Go right ahead.
I was just saying, I mean, there's more than 60,000 pharmacies in America, and you know, there's plenty of options for folks. Obviously, there's mail order options as well, and so I think it's you know, we actually tested it originally. We tried showing like pharmacy addresses and stuff. Then we realized everybody knows where their CVS and their Walgreens and their Rite Aid is, and they're you know, and they go into Walmart twice a week, and you know, Walmart of course is a major pharmacy option for people as well. And so you know, a lot of times we see switching, which is really going from like a traditional pharmacy chain to a big box store or something like that, or maybe a non-traditional place where they hadn't thought to fill their prescriptions before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's been interesting for me, just side note before I ask you the next question, that you do present a couple online options with the medication I take, and they're actually not the cheapest. That actually, right in my neighborhood, I can get the prescription at a more effective cost, which I appreciate because there's less hassle for me personally in doing that. I can run over last minute instead of having to pre-plan as much as I need to. So I appreciate that also. So kind of on a different bend, I remember when we talked several years ago, I saw a lot of promise for the use of GoodRx with employers and their employees. And number one, first of all, what I was really taken with is your very fixed focus that for now that wasn't something you were really going to chase very hard because you were trying to make the best product you could. So I actually personally appreciated this idea of focus and not drifting away. But you were, the company was trying to at least introduce the idea to employers and employee benefits consultants, and they were definitely intrigued, but they really weren't embracing it in large numbers. And I remember actually seeing one of your colleagues present at a conference and talked with some of the consultants afterward who loved it, but they're like, ooh, we're a little hesitant to use GoodRx because we're afraid if people go direct and not through the health plan, we're going to lose that data for the analyses that they like to do. And I know that since then, you've gone on to create a funded product for employers that acts like a transparent PBM, a pharmacy benefit management service, for people who are not familiar with the acronym. Can you describe for our listeners how this PBM works and what problem it solves that other PBMs don't currently address?
Sure. You know, so we, as you said, we're very, very focused on solving what originally we thought was the unfunded consumer business, right? We built GoodRx, and if you flash back to when you and I first met, you know, the conversation was really, for us at least, we thought was, oh, we're going to help those, you know, 10% of Americans who don't have insurance, you know, find a fair price for their drugs. As it turned out, you know, we found that almost two-thirds of the folks that were coming to our site were folks who are underinsured, right? Their insurance was not covering either, you know, they had a higher copay or a prior authorization or it wasn't on their formulary. And so all these folks with insurance started coming to our site. And then what happened, all, again, without our control or knowledge even, was they started complaining to their heads of benefits. And they started saying, hey, I don't understand. I've got insurance, and yet there's this other thing out there which is half the price of what our copay is. You know, how come I don't have these tools, first of all, available? Like, how come I don't know what I'm going to pay? And you know, and I'm paying for this service. And secondly, how come their prices are better than ours? And so a bunch of weird things started to happen. Like, first, You know, we had a bunch of heads of benefits just call us up and say, what is this? And then they would put it, like, on their intranet, and they would say, hey, by the way, you know, if you're, you know, frustrated by drug prices, just go click on this thing and go to GoodRx. Then we tried doing a few sort of co-brands for some plans where, you know, folks had less generous plans where they, you know, maybe they weren't providing a prescription drug benefit or a very limited benefit, where they were sending folks to GoodRx as sort of the default plan for an employee. And so I guess for us, like, it kept kind of smacking us in the face, like, you know, you need to play in this space. And obviously we wanted to play in the space where 60% of Americans actually, you know, purchase their drugs. And so, as of about 6 months ago, we started to offer a, like you said, a fully transparent PBM solution where we take all the same tool set that you can see on GoodRx.com or our mobile app and apply that to a funded benefit. So a consumer can go in and obviously look up a drug. They can track their existing drugs. But they can also do things like, you know, what's my progress toward my deductible? What is, you know, what is my actual benefit, you know, in my deductible versus in, you know, typical copay or coinsurance phase? And, you know, what's amazing about this is we've just seen incredible engagement. You know, most folks, I don't think, actually engage with their PBM product, and yet we're seeing, you know, in excess of 80% of the people that are members of a given plan coming to the site engaging because it seems like they really want this information. They want to know what a drug is going to cost, and then they want to know what they can do to save.
Have you seen a difference as we've been moving more and more to high deductible health plans, the consumer directed plans?
Totally. I mean, you know, one of the look, I'd love to take credit for a lot of the great things that have happened at GoodRx, but we've also really had a lot of great timing. You know, I mean, plans sadly have become less generous than they used to be. You know, I'm sure I don't have to tell you guys or your audience that high deductible health plans and HSAs and limited formularies, all these things are sort of circling to ultimately mean that the consumer is paying more and the consumer is having a hard time, you know, affording their prescriptions. And so I feel like the demand has rapidly increased from the member side, which in turn has led to the demand from the, you know, the plan side, which I think is kind of teed up a solution like we provide.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And the ability to be able to track toward your deductible through this service with employers would be an immense benefit that they're not able to access if they came in through the consumer side.
Yeah, and keep in mind go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, think about the sort of land shift that's happened to the typical, you know, employee or plan member over the last, you know, year or two. You know, when an HSA comes along, you know, it takes someone who used to have, say, you know, maybe they had a $250 or $500 deductible, but they understood they would get through that and then have a set copay. And now all of a sudden they're in a world where they're completely on their own. I mean, you know, these HDHPs are, you know, unless you end up in the hospital or have a significant medical event, you're on your own, and you know, and mm-hmm. the sticker shock of drug prices is enough to motivate you, the employee, to do something. And you know, and again, I think that's I can't overestimate how important I think that phenomenon has been to driving the desire for, you know, employees to have these kind of tools.
I agree.
You know, actually, it was you actually just made me think of something I hadn't thought about asking you until you said it, which is we are starting to see a lot of energy around the concept of private exchanges. And, of course, what people, employers in particular, don't always really think through is that if they enter a private exchange for, at minimum, their medical benefits as a way for their employees to go in and select, they've removed themselves from the employer-employee relationship around medical benefits. And now it's really a relationship between the employee and the insurance carrier. Do you see GoodRx having, and this is in many ways the ultimate consumer play on responsibility, do you see GoodRx going in and trying to help these employees who wind up in a private exchange sort through this very same issue you're seeing on funded plans?
You know, I do, and I guess I do because we started this company with a very simple mission, and really we just wanted to help guide consumers to the most affordable solution for their prescriptions, regardless of what their setup was. You know, we've been approached by I can't tell you how many PBMs that are saying, hey, we want to provide this solution to our consumers. We've been approached by health plans. We're building ourselves into EMRs and EHRs. We've got APIs that more than 150 companies are using. And so I guess maybe I'm generalizing a little bit, but what I see is the world saying, I don't care what the story is with my members or myself. I want this knowledge, and so I'm going to do what it takes. And so I'd like to think that, you know, as the consumers become more active and more in control of their healthcare, that our products will be a natural extension of that want.
That's great. And there's
through
one
this conversation.
I just want to find this one other thing, that there's a feature that I thought was great that you guys have added, which is My Best Pharmacy. So for those people who do have more than one prescription, can you talk a little bit about how that function works for the consumer?
Sure. This is a product that we have on both our consumer and our PBM solution. And, you know, we want to be realistic about what a consumer can do, right? We can show you let me back up. If you have, say, 6 or even 10 prescriptions, which is not as unusual as you might think, especially across a family, we provide a great pricing tool where you can go in and look up prices for each of those individual prescriptions. But it doesn't help you if the net result of that is that you need to go to 6 or 10 different pharmacies. I mean, you know, the inconvenience, the driving time, the waiting online, the paperwork, it's too much. And it's not realistic, I think, for most consumers to do that. And so what we decided to do was build a product called My Best Pharmacy. And the premise there was basically, hey, put a basket of drugs in, you know, put together all your drugs into one little basket, and then we will basically tell you the aggregate cost at every pharmacy near you for all of those drugs. And so that way you can see if it's, you know, $122 for the 6 drugs at Pharmacy A, but it's $146 at Pharmacy B. It makes it much easier for you to make that choice, and we provide you with all the instructions you'll need in order to realize that price, whether it be, you know, this one's a cash price, this one's a coupon, this one's a membership price, and, you know, basically try to hold the consumer's hand and say, look, you know, it's overwhelming to make you go to 20 different places, but if you want to still save a significant amount, just go to this one pharmacy and you'll be good.
Great, thank you.
I think that one tool right there really amps up the value for people because as I was saying at the beginning that I had that from the Mayo research I was quoting 20% they said use at least 5 prescriptions. So being able to target that one pharmacy that's going to get you the best value is tremendous. But what I was hearing throughout this conversation is that you have a number of stakeholders that you are trying to serve, and one of them is this service that you have targeted to physicians. Can you talk to us about what problem you're trying to solve for healthcare providers and why they have embraced your service so much?
Yeah, it's funny. We built this product, and, you know, my background is in technology, and so I thought, well, we'll just focus on consumers, and we'll try and make sure that we're optimized for search engines and, you know, stuff like that. And then what we noticed was most of our referrals, and today a big chunk of our referrals come from physicians themselves. And, you know, in retrospect, it makes perfect sense, which is, you know, I've met, hundreds of physicians in the course of building this company. And, you know, generally speaking, they're all really good people who really ultimately just want the consumer to take the prescription regimen that the doctor hands out. And obviously the costs associated with when you don't are not just detrimental to you, but to the system as a whole, because, you know, you're going to end up in the hospital and there's lost productivity and all that. And so what we found is, you know, doctors have come to us, again, over and over again and said, hey, I want to integrate GoodRx into my practice. I'm also really busy and, you know, I've got my own business to run. But how can I do it in a way that, you know, won't necessarily cost me a ton of time, but still will engage the consumer and ultimately get them to take the prescriptions I provide them? And so we've provided a bunch of different products to doctors. We've done everything from testing iPads and iPhones in doctors' offices to providing printed materials. And it's great. I mean, we love doctors. We have a doctor on staff who writes editorial content dedicated to both consumers and doctors. And we're working with a whole bunch of organizations, including hospitals, clinics, and a bunch of nonprofits. We've also recently published some papers in conjunction with some academic institutions about, you know, both the effect of price on adherence to drugs. It's been a great odyssey for us because to be embraced by the people that we admire and, you know, want to compliment is the ultimate compliment for us.
I can't help but wonder, as I think about the bio that Carol talked about with your history in forming and supporting community and what you're doing now, and knowing what we know about how patients look to their doctor for advice or direction or maybe these referrals, but they look to their peers, people with similar conditions, for empathy and for how to manage. And when you think about adherence, cost is a breakdown for sure, but just also remembering to taking the pills daily, which gets complicated with age or with the numbers and the co-contradictions and so forth, all that becomes so much more challenging. I'm wondering if down the road you see putting to use your history with community in any way with GoodRx.
I do. We actually have a whole forthcoming redesign of our product, which will be out in the next month or two, which starts to incorporate some feedback from consumers. We regularly poll consumers about their experience in the pharmacy, the experience in the doctor's office. You know, I like to tread carefully there because one of the differences between this business for me and my previous businesses is we really try not to have an opinion. We feel like there's plenty of both services, your own physician, that are far more qualified than we are to tell you, like, take drug X or take drug Y. You know, I don't know why, but I wake up every morning obsessed with prescription drug prices, and I want to limit my focus to that. I'll let someone else, you know, have the debate with you about which statin is best or, you know, the pros and cons or side effects. We really want to be, you know, that service that helps you once you and your medical practitioner have decided on which way to go. That said, we do have a lot of wonderful sort of community that just kind of sprung up out of nowhere of people who now help each other. There's, if you go to Reddit or many of the message boards like you mentioned previously, you know, there's a community of people now who are using our price as sort of their reference guide and helping each other to, you know, afford whatever the need is that they have. And that part's been wonderful.
Yet in many ways it's taken on a life of its own, which must be satisfying for you to see, particularly given your background, I think.
Yeah,
it's
sort of funny. It's interesting. I don't know who it is, but some guy on Twitter who has 100,000 followers, I don't know why, but about a week ago he started just tweeting us every 3 hours. it's very nice of him. I don't know who he is, but I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I mentioned in our opening that there is a GoodRx for pets now, and so I was curious about that, and so, of course, I had to do a little research and found out that, believe it or not, the Bureau of Labor Statistics tracks pets, which I think is interesting, and the pet industry obviously has estimates that Americans spend somewhere between $58 and $61 billion a year on their pets, and a prescription and over-the-counter meds seem to account for about a quarter of these expenses. So why did you decide to add this service? And I'm curious as to whether you've seen any crossover from consumers who started with the pet app and then wound up starting to use the app for themselves.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. We had built GoodRx, and again, around the time Carol and I first met, you know, we were small but growing, and we had the good fortune of being on World News Tonight, which was a huge, you know, opportunity for us, and we were very excited, and we had this big piece, and our servers, you know, exploded, and, you know, all these new people found out about GoodRx. And about 2 weeks later, we got a call from the same people, and they said, hey, you guys have a product for pets, right? And we were like, sure we do. we didn't actually have anything at the time. And so we started to dig into the space because, you know, we all knew that pets take meds, and I think it's like 1% of pets actually have pet insurance. And so we started to dig into it, and we realized there's two kinds of pet meds. There's pet meds that humans also take, and the vast majority of our discounts you'll find in our site will work for pets. And then there's also pet meds that are unique to pets, you know, fleas and ticks and stuff like that, which are sold by a variety of different folks. And no one had actually aggregated that information either. And obviously, as we said, pets don't have insurance. So that terrible high retail price that consumers avoid with insurance, that doesn't exist. You know, when you have a pet, you're the, you know, whatever the vet or the pharmacy tells you is the price, that's the price. And so the savings are really mind-blowing when it comes to pets. And, you know, we didn't really take it all that seriously when we first got started. And then we realized, you know, this is a billion-dollar industry. and one that just has no solutions for pet owners who
we are parents.
Think of themselves
speaking
as
the pet owner
exactly.
here.
And so it's been kind of a nice surprise for us, and now we spend a lot of time making sure it's right and accurate and that we can help.
Have you seen that crossover?
As somebody who's a new owner of go ahead, Carol.
I was just curious, have you seen that crossover though? Has somebody started with your pet app and be like, oh, I should just use this for myself or vice versa?
You hit the nail on the head, Carol, yes. I mean I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I've got insurance, I don't need that, I'll just use this for my pet. And then, you know, a few days later, they get a prescription for something else. They go, you know, it worked for my dog, so maybe I'll just check. And as long as they're not getting flea and tick meds for themselves, yes, it's good.
Although I know some people who might need that.
Well, I know, speaking for myself with a new dog and having to have tracked down the flea and tick as well as the other meds, I'll be very happy to take advantage of your service and let you guys do the homework for me. So we, as usual, come up on our end of the show much, much too quickly, but we are at that point right now. So I want to ask you the question that we ask all of our guests, and it comes really from the Actors Studio, among other places. And what we want to do is try to spend some time exploring great ideas that didn't work out. So I'd like to ask you if you could share with us a great idea you had that didn't work out quite as you envisioned. You just told us one that just happened on happenstance and worked out quite well, but now we're looking for the opposite.
Sure. You know, this is one that we're struggling with. How's that? So I don't want to tell you that it has not worked out, but one that we continue to poke at and try to figure out, and it's been very frustrating, and that is, you know, when we started this company, our motto is cheap, affordable prescription drugs for everyone. And and then, you know, when we got started, we thought, well, what are the frustration points that come around prescription drugs? Well, obviously cost is the big one, and we spent a lot of time on that. But another one is just accessibility. You know, I mean, I don't think going to the pharmacy is generally a fun experience for folks. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking, well, what if we just delivered your drugs to you? You know, what about Uber for pharmacy? It seems to me like such an obvious thing, right? You push a button and the drug magically shows up. And, you know, there's obviously mail order, but mail order actually has been declining over the last few years. I think most consumers just find it sort of frustrating to sign up and go through the process and the waiting time. And so we spent a lot of time thinking about it, and to be honest, we want it to be as beautiful and simple as GoodRx, the consumer experience, and I think we've had a really hard time given both the regulation, the restrictions involved, the sort of lack of fluidity of a prescription versus, you know, a television set or an airline ticket. It's made it really, really hard for us to create an experience where, you know, you push a few buttons and it magically shows up. And so I know there's a few companies that are kind of poking at that, and, I wish it was us. But I think, you know, that's an area that I so desperately want someone to solve. I'm just not sure it's going to be GoodRx quite yet.
Yeah, well, maybe you need to get Jeff Bezos and borrow his drones.
That would be great. You know? Drone drug delivery. It's coming soon.
That could be the vision of somebody's, like, happy day, having drones drop prescription drugs on them.
Maybe they could drop it right into your mouth. That'd be perfect, right?
Well, that would come appearance, would it even be better? Well, you know, as Fran said, we have definitely closed at the half hour, and I can't thank you enough, Doug, for taking the time to talk with Fran and I and give our listeners some, I think, incredibly good information. Not to do a shameless plug, but I truly have used the service and continue to rely on it, and if anything, my experience was great in the beginning, but it does get better. So thank you. I think you are taking a problem that's existed for a long time and have created that beautiful, elegant solution that works. And I can tell you I'm personally appreciative, but I think you will continue to help people as you make more inroads with employers. And I hope some smart private exchanges start to reach out to you as well, because I think that will be enough enormous assistance to consumers who are being asked to take on a responsibility. They don't have a ton of experience. And so thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Fran.
Yes,
I really appreciate it.
Great. And so I want to tell our listeners that our next show will air on Wednesday, July 1st at 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time, just as they always do, and that you can listen to today's show again if you would like, or refer to other people, because we do find most folks listen on an on-demand way, and there are three ways you can do that with CoHealth Checkup. You can do it through the Blog Talk Radio platform, but you can also do it through iTunes and Stitcher. And so with that, once again, thank you, Fran, thank you, Doug, and thank you to our listeners, and we look forward to another great show next month.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye
Have
now.
A great day.
Bye-bye.